Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr down here in Kansas City, and we are stopped by the USEC booth, U.S. Soybean Export Council, and Ed Beeman, Senior Director, and you are charged with emerging markets. So what are some companies or countries you head to, Ed?
So there are a number of emerging markets around the world that we are focusing on right now. Some of them with a larger footprint and more focus than we've done before are the more traditional ones that we might be more familiar with. Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Myanmar is a new emerging market, for example. Egypt, Tunisia, some of those markets. Maybe the one I'm focused on the most right now is in sub-Saharan Africa. And the reason that's interesting is because USEC hasn't had a footprint in sub-Saharan Africa prior to now. And so as part of our analysis when we started about 3 years ago looking at how we diversify our portfolio and look for opportunities, because of the population, because of the age of the population, the GDP growth, and already having an understanding of soy in Nigeria, it sort of bubbled to the top as an interesting market of opportunity for us. We think Nigeria is going to become maybe the third largest country in the world by 2030, 2050. So that continued population growth, continued economic growth, creates opportunities for us. And the opportunities are really on many different fronts. WISH has worked, our sister organization, WISH, has worked in Nigeria for a number of years, sort of laying the groundwork, if you will, for what we're doing today in the poultry sector. So right now our focus is in the poultry sector. It's becoming quite commercialized and the demand for higher quality protein is increasing. Of course, poultry utilizes a lot of soy.
It's a phrase, chicken is a two-legged soybean, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So what does Nigeria, or what does sub-Saharan Africa want? Do they want whole beans, or do they want meal sent to them?
You know, I'm going to answer that over time. Nigeria produces its own soybeans today. And so today we're working with the Nigerian soy value chain, doing everything we can to enhance and improve that value chain all along the value chain to make it as efficient and as effective as possible. And the reason we need to do that is because to increase poultry production even more than it is now, or I should say poultry consumption, we need to figure out ways to drive down the price of the chicken at the grocery store. And efficiencies along the value chain is one way that we can go about trying to do that. So working with them and helping them become better at what they do, utilizing, therefore, 100% of their own soy for that production, knowing the demographics that demand is going to continue to grow faster than their own supply can provide for, we're positioning U.S. soy to be that soybean of choice to fill that gap. And so over time, I believe we will start selling U.S. soybeans. I think beans, to answer your question directly, they have a fairly robust crush capacity already. They're only utilizing somewhere between, depending on what number you want to look at, using somewhere between 30 and 50% of that crush capacity. So we think beans initially is what they'll be after. We think it could become over time, if all things work, we think it could become a 5 to 10 million metric ton market. Now, to put that in perspective, that's not China. China has been a 36 million metric ton market. They're not that big today, of course, we know. But it's still a big market. If we can build this emerging market space and turn markets that were, you know, thousands of tons into millions of metric tons over time, then that just helps solidify the footprint that U.S. soy has around the globe in diversified emerging markets.
Yeah. So you're not using the old analogy of teaching a man to giving him fish, teaching him to fish. You're teaching him how to build a fish industry.
Yeah, we are. And, I mean, speaking of fish, aquaculture is also a sector of opportunity, we think, in Nigeria. Not only the poultry market, but the aquaculture market is something that's emerging as well. So we'll continue. And so we've done something kind of cool. We're starting what we call soy excellence centers. And these excellence centers are our best way to describe them, sort of one-stop shop training opportunities to bring the value chain together, give them tracks of curriculum-based training that will lead to a certification. Because as, I mean, it's really a holistic picture and it's exciting because as production, as demand continues to grow, the need for skilled, qualified people to fill the employment needs along the soy value chain is going to increase. Today, they don't have a very good mechanism to be able to do that. And so this professional track, post-university track training that will allow them to be certified, we think is going to be very valuable, not only for that potential employee, for that student, if you will, but for their employers. And the other thing is that puts Nigerians to work and it helps overcome this 70% poverty issue that we have. Because a big, big deal in Nigeria is 70% poverty and protein deficiency. Something in the neighborhood of 75-80% of the population are protein deficient. So if we can just address this protein deficiency issue, all roads will lead to soy at the end of the day. And we're positioning U.S. soy as the soy of choice for the future. We think that future is going to begin maybe as early as next year. They have been importing very small amounts, I'll say 30,000 metric tons or something like that over the past couple of years. So we're working in a lot of different tracks, credit, storage, infrastructure, all of the things that will make them a better, more solid partner that will develop over time. And so as these protein gaps continue to get wider, they're going to look for partners. Even though we think the Nigerian production of soybeans can improve over time, we don't believe that it's ever going to improve at the pace and rate to close the gap between supply and demand. That's where we're positioning U.S. soy.
All right. Ed Beeman, who is an emerging markets guy for USEC, U.S. Soy Export Council. I know this is not an emerging market in China in the same sentence. They're probably not, but that is the 800-pound gorilla in the room. So do you see them coming back? They're almost going to be an emerging market if they get on board again. But then you've got all the European and Sub-Saharan markets that are developing. The future should be bright. Huh?
We think the future is bright, and I think patience is the operative word. China has been and will continue to be a very important partner for U.S. soy. They still remain the largest importer of U.S. soy of any country or region, any country in the world. So we continued. Our strategy with China was, let's not miss a beat. Let's continue with our relationship management. Let's continue with our programming. Let's continue bringing industry together so that the industry and industry relationships have continued to be built. So when this thawing of the current relationship happens, we'll continue to be positioned as a supplier of choice for Chinese buyers. They get it. I mean, they understand that there's a difference between U.S. soy and Brazilian and Argentinian soy. They understand the intrinsic value of U.S. soy compared to the competition. So we don't have to teach them all of those things anymore. So our focus in China is let's keep these relationships solid. And so when things improve, to whatever level they improve, we're ready for it. Trade patterns are being reworked. We're confident that the work we're doing in these emerging markets today is long-term success. We worked in China for 12 and a half years before we sold a bean. We're still working in India, and we haven't sold beans yet. But we have, because of the reverse marketing work we've done over time, we have taken a lot of Indian beans off the international market. And because of that, we now have beans in Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and other markets around the world. So that works. And the same thing will hold true in some of these other emerging markets. Yeah.
Well, Ed, thank you much for the work you do. Ed Beeman, U.S. Soybean Export Council, and Monty Peterson, thanks you too.
I think Monty, he's a great supporter and a great leader on our board. So I get to interact with Monty a lot in my position, and so it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I hope he's been able to take his floaters off his combine. That'll be the message.
Well, and now he needs skates.
Now he needs skates, that's right.
Again, Ed, thank you so much for the work you do, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Good. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
For you guys who are selling soybeans this fall, of course, a portion of all of your sales go to the checkoff. And there's an example of checkoff dollars at work. What did Ed say? They were in China 12 years before they sold a single soybean. So the work of the soybean checkoff, valuable to these emerging markets around the world. And of course, sub-Saharan Africa is going to be one of those emerging markets. So tip of the hat to USEC, U.S. Soybean Export Council.